Okay, we're on Daf Yud Chet today. We're Megillah 18a. So I'm going to begin around 3 lines above where it gets wide on Yud Chet Amud Aleph. Okay? Okay. So Yud Chet Amud Aleph, around 3 lines above where it gets wide. So we're talking about the different brachot in Shmona Esrei and the reason for the order of the different brachot. So the Gemara says, Umaru Lamar B'yurchet Kohenim Afar Hodah. And we know in Chazara Shatz, we have Birchat Kohanim. Spartan actually have the Kohanim Dochani, but we Ashkenazim mentioned Birchat Kohanim. Thank you very much. So why is Birchat Kohanim after the Brach of Hodah? Hodah is Modim, and then it concludes Hatov Shem Chalachan Elo. We thank Hashem. So why do we place Birchat Kohanim after Hodah? Dechtiv, Vayisar Ron Kedav, Elam, Vayivarchem, Vayirid Mayasor Chatat Vaholah Vashpamim. So the Pasuk says that Aaron lifted his hands to bless people, meaning Aaron HaKohen is giving them Birchas Kohenim. When Yud Chet Amud Aleph would lay us down our line, so he says, and then he descended from bringing the Chatat, the Ola, and the Shlamim. So the Gemara is going to explain that Avoda comes first, then Birchas Kohenim. So the Gemara says, but based on that Pasuk, name a Kodim Avoda. So maybe Birchas Kohenim should be before the Avoda. In other words, it mentions Birchas Kohenim, then it mentions bringing all the different korban out. The Gemara says, "Lo sakadaitach." I wouldn't think that Birchat Kohanim comes before Avoda. If he by Yevret me'asod chatat v'gomer, it says that he descended from having brought the chatat. Mikiv la'asod doesn't say that he's going to do it. He says me'asotiv. So it's definitely after the Avoda. So then the Gemara says, "V'leim rachar havoda." So then maybe Birchat Kohanim should be after the bracha of Avoda. Bracha is that's resay. And it concludes the Machas Yir Shechina Tol Etzion. That's the Bracha of Avoda. Maybe Birchas Kohanim should come after the Avoda. That's the Pasuk there. The Gemara says, Lo Sakadaitach. I wouldn't think such a thing. It says, Dechtiv. And here the Gemara quotes the Pasuk that we quoted a few lines earlier. Zoveach Todah. And again, the Pasuk says, Yechab Danani. That if a person mentions Zoveach as a Korban, then it mentions Todah, giving thanksgiving. So first you have the korban out, and then you have the thanksgiving. So the Gemara says, "Why pasuk samtahai?" So why are you relying on that last pasuk, smokahai? Why not the earlier pasuk seems to say that birchat kohanim should be after the avoda, and that pasuk seems to say that it's after hodah. The Gemara says on the third white line, "Mistaber avoda v'hodah chadam elti." It's more logical to assume that avoda and hodah constitute one unit. In other words, meaning Hodah, thanking Hashem, is also a part of the Avoda. In other words, part of our service to Hashem is to thank Hashem. So it makes sense that you have the Avoda and the Hodah, and then you have Birchas Kohanim. Let me just do a few more lines and I'll pause, okay? Then the Gemara says on the fourth line, Umara Ula Umar Sim Shalom Afar Birchas Kohanim. Why then is the Bracha Sim Shalom, which is the last Bracha of Shmona Esrei, follow Birchas Kohanim, the blessing of the Kohanim, the thief, that this pasuk is in Parshat Nasau, where it mentions the mitzvah of Birchat Kohanim, and then the pasuk says v'samu'ch mi'al b'nei Yisrael. In other words, you'll bless Klal Yisrael with Birchas Kohanim. That's samu'ch mi'al b'nei Yisrael b'ani Avrachem, and then I Hashem will bless them. So he says bracha da kadosh baruch hu shalom. The Gemara explains the bracha of a kadosh baruch hu is the bracha of shalom, of peace. All right, let me just do 1 second. I want to get to the two dots, and then I'll open up the floor for all discussion, okay? So the Gemara now says, you know, yesterday's Gemara, we mentioned two brises. One is a brisa, one may or may not be a brisa. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan says it also a brisa. We said one brisa said that Shimon HaPakuli, his dear Shimon HaStrei Brachal, and Rabbi Yochanan, that Shimon HaPakuli, and Pakuli Rashi said, could mean the cotton merchant. He organized the Shmona Esrei Brachot before Rabbi Gamliel and Yavdin. That means after the Korban Beis Hamikdash, he organized it. But then another statement said that Me'eva Esrim Zakenim, that there were 120 Zakenim among them, and the Neviim were metakling the Shmona Esrei Brachot, and that would have been earlier. So let's see. It means the Anshei Knesset Gedola did it. The Anshei Knesset Gedola is an earlier period of time. So back to the Gemara. So we're okay. We're around the 1, 2, 3, around the 6 very wide line on Yud Chet Amud Aleph. Okay, 18A, the 6 very wide line. So the cleaning that part, the main of his kingdom, and him coming to be into Guth Gilo Seder, since we see that 120 Zakenim, they're the ones who organized Shmona Esrei, Shmona Pakuli, my history. So what was left for Shmona Pakuli? In other words, if Anshei Knesset Agil are doing it, so it says, and they have Nevi'im, and it was Kagai, Zechariah, and Malachi were part of them, and then 120 is Canaan, and then the Mishnah says that Shimon HaTzadik was Mishari Knesset Agdola, and Shimon HaTzadik lives in the time of the great around 333 BC. So if the Shmona Esrei was already organized, you know, hundreds of years BCE, I should say, so then what's left for Shimon HaPakuli to do after the Korban Beis HaMikdash in the first century? So he says, my history. The so they forgot them and then they reorganized it. So I mentioned the Arsul mentions the Ben and quotes the Ben Yehoyada. How could they get the orders from Esrei? So the Ben Yehoyada says they forgot the reason for the organization, and Shimon HaPakuli explained why the Brachot are organized the way they are. Okay, let me just do another 5-6 lines of the two dots and then I'll pause. Now, the Gemara says, Mikan Ve'elach, it means chronologically, after we have a Shimon Esrei Brachot and the Tefillah has all been formulized. For us, formulated, and formalized. He says, so now I'm not allowed to add on my own praises for a Kaddish Baruch Hu. In other words, like it says in Shmona Esrei, Akeel Gadol Gvor Vahanara. That's it. You have to follow the Nusach that the Kamin were talking. The Amir Blazar, Blazar says, what does the Pasuk mean? And here we're 3 lines above where it gets very wide on Yechon Ben Aleph. Who will relate all the strength of Hashem? Yeshmiya called to Lato. Who will make known all of his praises? Lamina Elamalel Gur Hashem. Who is it appropriate to praise Hashem? Lamisha called Yeshmiya called to Lato. Somebody who could say all his praises, but we can't say all the praises. So then you stick to the way the Chazal is doing it. And then Rashi says on the second wide line upstairs, Lamisha called, the Ain Misha called Saper Kulo. Nobody can say all the shvachim for Hashem, but so therefore it makes only sense just follow what the chachamim do. Back down in the Gemara, 2 lines of work, it's very wide. If a person says too many shvachim to a Kaddish Baruch Hu, karmin haolam, he's uprooted from the world, means like he'll die. Now he quotes this pasuk. And these pasuk are really difficult. It's Shuto Shemikra and then the Drasha. There was the plain meaning of the pasuk and then the homiletical interpretation. So the pasuk says that the pasuk in Eel, Haisuparlo Kiadaber, Imamar Ish Kiabla. So the Shuto Shemikra means, is it possible for some person to speak and Hashem will know about it? Imamar Ish Velo Kiabla, and a person will speak and it won't be revealed, is the way they translate it. But the Drasha is Haisuparlo Kiadaber, he says, Can I say all the shvachot to Hashem? Imamar ish kiyavla, and if he tries to do that, he's gonna. In other words, he'll die. He'll be swallowed up. Darush Rabbi Yehuda ish kvar gibor raya, but I'm like ish kvar gibor chayol. My deceiv lachadu miyat tehila. For you, silence is the greatest praise. It means sama dekula mashtuka. The greatest potion or medicine is silence. So the silence is the best. The author of Rabbini, when Rabbini came from Israel, Amar, he said, Amri b'ma rabba, they say in the Western Israel, nilama sela mashtukva train. If a word is worth one sela, a sela is a coin, silence is worth two. It means like silence is golden. In other words, like a chazal teaches, siad l'chok mashtika, like the, like a fence on wisdom is silence. In other words, don't talk, you know, listen more and don't speak so much. Now, there's an interesting little piece on this, and then I'll open up the floor. With Eldad and Medad in the Chumash, this is a piece, I think, from the Gra. So it says that Eldad and Medad, they were Midabim B'tokha Machaneh, that Moshe Rabbeinu, he picked the 70 members of the Sanhedrin. And the way Rashi learns, Eldad and Medad, I think, were part of the 70, but didn't want to serve in the Sanhedrin. But I think others say they were the ones left out, that there were 72. And so from each Shevet, there were, it would be six. In other words, so there were six names from each Shevet. So it adds up to 72, and then only 70 were picked. So two left out. But either way, so they were Menabe Betocha Machaneh. What was the Nevuah that Eldad and Medad were saying? This is in Parsha Balotcha. Moshe made Yoshua Machnis.
that Moshe is going to die and Yeshua is going to bring Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. So the Gra said, Mila b'sela, if Moshe Rabbeinu had said a word to the Sela, instead of hitting the rock, he had Mila b'sela, he had spoken to the rock, Mashtuka betraying, the two of them would have been silent. It would have silenced Eldad and Medad. That's a different way of learning the Gemara. Anyway, it was just a cute little thing. I thought I'd mention it. Okay, now, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything that they did up till now? Okay, one second. Ed Parber's asking something. Right, that's the Gemara Masech Pesachim. Right. Yeah, well, it's hard to understand how they forgot in that case. It's even harder to understand here, because here, every day you're saying it. There, it could be that, like, you know, Erev Pesach's on a Shabbos, but even that's hard to understand. And they say that Al Pi Hashgacha Hashem caused them to forget, I think, so that Hill would be... Anyway, Ed Parber was mentioning, the Gemara says in Masechet Pesachim, I need everybody to be quiet, somebody's making, the mic is open. Okay, so... So Ed Parver was asking that the Gemara says in Masechet Pesachim that the Bnei B'Torah, who were heads of the Sanhedrin, forgot what the halacha is when Erev Pesach is on Shabbos. So I said how they forgot. I said, how could they forget? So Ed was saying, well, how could they forget that case as well? So I said, that case is difficult. This is even more difficult because you daven every day. And so how can you possibly forget what the Shmona Brach? But even that case, but I said, I think Al Pi Hashgacha, Hashem caused them to forget the halacha. The Bnei B'Torah forgot the halacha, so that Hillel would become the Nasi. Okay, now who wanted to say something in the audience now on Zoom? Somebody wanted to say something. All right, what? Who's Malka. There? Okay, Malka and then Aaron Moshe. Okay, what do you got for me, Malka? 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 I can't hear you so well, Malka. Scream. Malka?
You're muted, Malka.
All right. Well, Malka, hold off. Let me go to Aaron Moshe.
Hold on. I got it.
Okay, what do you got, Malka?
The concept that you can't add something to the Shmona Esrei, I mean, there are a lot of things that are added to the Shmona Esrei, at least in the Sephardic Sidur that I use and I say.
Like what?
Okay, so there's one, what is it? A Machzir B'Tshuva. There's a Tishetachtor, Chatever Mitachem Kisek Vodecha, Lachzir B'Tshuva. Well, it's called Pishay.
No. Okay, it means like this. Again, we're saying that the Shvachim are the praises for a Kaddish Baruch Hu. So the praise for a Kaddish Baruch Hu would be like a Kael, a Gadol, a Gevurah, a Hanera. Now, Bakashod, the person can add Bakashod to Shmona Esrei. And that's what you have in the Sephardic Sidur. Welcome, Ode. Nice to have you. Okay. And then what else? Okay, now, Aaron Moshe's been waiting, and then we'll come to Yosef, and then we got to keep going. Okay, what's up, Aaron Moshe?
Now, the only thing I was going to say is that that doesn't go according to the Rambam. The Rambam says that the reason that Moshe didn't enter Yisrael is not because he hit the rock, but because he said Shimon HaMoirin.
Because he said, okay, all right. Okay, and what do you want to say, Yosef? Yeah, okay, so with Birchas Kohanim, we said, why does Birchas Kohanim come after the bracha of Hodah? So then the Gemara quoted a pasuk by Aaron HaKohen. Aaron HaKohen goes up and he gives them Birchas Kohanim, but he offers it after the chatat olah shlamim. So right after the avoda. So the Gemara says, oh, now you brought that pasuk, so your birchas kohanim should go after the avoda. So then the Gemara says, yeah, but there's another pasuk that says oveich todah yichabdanani, that I have to have the korban zoveach, and then todah has to follow on the heels of the avoda. So the Gemara says, so we're going to do that pasuk, and we're going to do the hodah after the avoda and the hodah. So then the Gemara says, why do you rely on that pasuk, not the earlier pasuk? The Gemara says, the emes is that hodah is a type of avoda. In other words, thanking Hashem is part and parcel of the avoda. In other words, we serve Hashem and we bring korbanot, but we have, so that's a unit, and then we do it after that. Okay, I got to move on. Please excuse me, I'm going to mute everybody again, or if you're not muted yourselves, okay? Okay, so we're on Yud Chet Amud Aleph. We're around the third very wide line. I'm just kind of out. Okay, so Kral Peleg Sabbath. We said if a person recited the Megillah, you know, by heart, he doesn't fulfill his obligation. The Chulei. So Manalim, where do we know this from? I'm a Rava. Ad Zachira Zachira. It says in the Megillah, these days are Nizkarim, and we learned that Nizkarim means
It's a reference to, it means the remembered, but it means the Kriyas HaMegillah. Asiya means the yontiv, like the partying, and Nizkarim means the Kriyas HaMegillah. Uchatif HaTam, and it says, in reference to Amalek, at the end of Parshat B'Shalach, Tov Zot Zikaron B'Sefer. So it mentions Zikaron in reference to destroying Amalek. Malahalan B'Sefer, just like by Amalek, it means there's a written document, you're reading it from a Sefer Torah, Afkan B'Sefer. So too, here the Nizkarim, by Megillah should also be safer. And remember that Haman was a descendant of Amalek, so it's connected to the words, but it's also thematically connected. How do we know that the Zechira, in reference to Zachor, means reading from a safer? Maybe it just means, I'll look at it, I'll read it with my eyes, like sight reading. So Lo Sakat Daitak wouldn't think such a thing. The Tani, we learn in the Braisa, Zachor, the Pasuk says, this is in the end of Parsha Kitaytse, this is Achor, the Sher Self Amalek, remember. I might think that I'll remember, I'll think in my heart. When it says, don't forget, that means in your heart. So when it says Achor, that means Bepeh. So just like I see there's an audible reading by Amalek, so to hear, it also has to be an audible reading from the Sefer. Okay, let me go on a little bit more and then I'll pause in a few lines. Now, I explained the Mishnah. Let's go back to the Mishnah quickly from yesterday. And Yuzayin Amin Aleph. We'll just do a few lines. And Yuzayin Amin Aleph, second line of the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, "Kral pek pratargim ul shomlo yetsa." That if a person recites the Megillah, you know, by memory, or he recites it in Aramaic or any language, he doesn't fulfill his obligation. And then the next line says, "Al kuna to lozot balaz," that you could read the Megillah in foreign languages. But lo yishma shuri yetsa. The person speaks foreign languages, and a shuri. He's Yotze. So one line in the Mishnah says, if you read it in Targum or any language, you're not Yotze. The next line says, you are Yotze. So I explained the Mishnah based on the Maskana. It means that if you understand that language, then if you don't understand the language, you're not Yotze. If you do understand the language, so then and you don't understand Hebrew, then you can hear it in the foreign language. But we don't know this yet. Let's see back on the Gemara. So the Gemara says, so Heikidami. So the Gemara says first, what's the case? If it means that the document, the Megillah, is written in Hebrew, and he reads it in Aramaic, that's the same as the first case. He's doing it balpeh. It's not written there. So the case is, he has a Megillah, and the Megillah is written in Targum on cloth, and he's reading in Targum. That's the case in the Mishnah. About Karina to Lozo Palaz Vahule. But the Tana Mishnah says, for people, foreign language people, we can read it in the foreign language. So the Gemara says, one line you said, if I read it in any language, I'm not Yotze. The next line says, I am Yotze. So Rabbi Shmuel the Ami Tarbayu, Rabbi Shmuel both say, the La'az Yivani. So Rabbi Shmuel, we think what they're saying is that when it says that I could be Yotze Balaz, it means in Greek. So in other words, that we think the Peshat is, in any other language other than Greek, I'm not Yotze. But if I have the Megillah in Greek, I'm Yotze, according to Rabbi Shmuel. So, hey, Chidami, what's the case? If the Megillah is written in Ashurit, and he's reading in Greek, that's by memory. So, Amar Rabbi Acham of Lazar, Shukub Laz Yivani. No, means I have a Megillah that's written in Greek. But, okay, now, hold that on pause. Gemara digresses for a minute because we have another statement in the Rabbah named Rabbi Lazar, and we'll come back to this discussion. But Amar Rabbi Acha, Amar Rabbi Lazar, nice Kodesh Baruch Hu Yaakov Kale. Where do we know that a Kodesh Baruch Hu called Yaakov Kale? He says, Shenemar, Vayikra lo Kale, lo Kale Yisrael. So there's an incident in Chumash where Yaakov builds him his Beach, Vayatzav Shem his Beach, Vayikra lo Kale, lo Kale Yisrael. So there are two possible ways that we could understand this pasuk. One way is he's naming the mizbeach in Hashem's name, like we see that sometimes they have like Hashem Nisi, like in the Chumash. There's another calls the mizbeach Hashem Nisi, or in the Nevi'im in Sefer Shoftim, he says like Hashem Shalom. So that would be one way to understand the pasuk. The other way is that Kadosh Baruch Hu, who's Vayikra lo, who's doing the calling. So the way the Gemara is saying Vayikra is talking about Kadosh Baruch Hu. If you'd assume that the Peshat is the first way, that Yaakov calls the Mizbeach, like he calls it like Kel Ke Israel, like Hashem is the God of Israel. That's why I want to remember this place. Then the Torah should spell it out. The Yaakov is the one who's saying it.
Ella Vayikralo Li Yaakov Kael. Rather, it means that Hashem called Yaakov Kael. Mikro Kael Ella Pesrael. So Vayikralo Kael, Hashem called him Yaakov Kael, and who called him Ella Pesrael? Okay, let's go back to our main program, back to the Megillah. So Meife, going back to the foreign languages, now, we said that according to Rav and Shmuel, the Pshat in the Mishnah is, you can only be Yotze the Megillah in Greek. In other words, so when it says, I hear in foreign languages, I'm Yotze. When it says, I am Yotze, it means if it's in Greek, then I'm Yotze. So Meife, on this we ask a question from the following Braisa. Kra'a Gifti, if a person read the Megillah in Gifti, is Coptic. He says, Ivrit. Ivrit does not mean Hebrew. Ivrit means a language on the other side of the river, but it means an ancient Near Eastern language. Elamit, you call them Elamit, or Madit, or Yibanit, or Greek. The key is Greek there, Lo Yatsa. So here the Bryce says, Mefurash, if I read the Megillah in Greek, I'm not Yotze. And Rabbi Shmuel said, the Pshat in the Mishnah is, I am Yotze. So, Halo Damya Elohat. The Gemara says, Rabbi Shmuel's statement is more similar to the following statement. Gifted with Giftim, Ivrit le Ivrim, Elamit le Elamim, Yivanim, Yatsa. This Bryce says, if I read it in Coptic for people who speak Coptic, I read it in Ivrit, meaning this ancient Near Eastern language for the people who speak that, or Elamit to the Elamit people, or Yivani for the people who understand Greek, then I am Yotze. So now we think, so again, this is getting close to the final Pshat in the Mishnah, that if I don't understand the language, I'm not Yotze. If I do understand the language, I am Yotze. That's the way we're headed. Now, if that's the case, so then why would Rav and Shmuel say, our Mishnah, when our Mishnah says you're Yotze Balaz, Rav and Shmuel said it means that you're reading in Greek. So why would they say it in Greek? They should say it in any language, because that's the Pshat. That's what we think. So the Gemara says, you're right, the Pshat in the Mishnah is like that Bryce that we just read. Meaning the Mishnah means, if I read it in any language and I don't understand that language, I'm a Yotze. If I read it in a foreign language and I do understand that language, the post can say, it can't be that I understand Hebrew as well. I think it's a question whether I'm Yotze. It's Machloket Poskim. Let's say I understand Ashuri. Can I be Yotze with a Megillah in French? So that's Machloket Poskim. But the idea is that only the people who understand that language can be Yotze. But it wanted to Rav Shmuel, when Rav and Shmuel's statement was made that you're Yotze with the Megillah in Greek, that's Ba'alma Imar. And that was a statement separate and distinct from the Mishnah. He says, Rav Shmuel da'ami tarvayu, laz yivani l'chol kasher. That laz yivani l'chol kasher, it means Rav and Shmuel, they equate Greek on a level with Hebrew. Now, with Hebrew, even if I don't understand Hebrew, I'm Yotze in the Megillah. In other words, I don't understand a word of Hebrew. And I come in, but I understand it. It's Purim or whatever. And I listen to the Kriyas of Megillah. I'm Yotze in the Megillah. Rav and Shmuel sold the same thing with Greek. I walk in and I hear it in Greek. That's the same level. That's what they said. He says, V'hakatani yivani yivani min l'puy amalo. So the Gemara says, but the Braisa that we just said that I could read it in Yivani for the people who speak Greek, not for the people who don't speak Greek. So he says, in the Amor from Shmuel. So the Gemara says, Rav and Shmuel, and we had this earlier in the Gemara, on Daf Ched, remember the machloka between Rav Shmuel and the Chachamim, whether the Sifrei Tanakh could be written in Greek. He says, the Gan, Rav Shmuel Amir, Afsvar and Loitushi Katu El Yivani. Shmuel says that the other Sifrei Tanakh can only be written in Greek, He says, Velindu Alach et Rav Shmuel. So Rav and Shmuel, they learned the halacha follows Rav Shmuel. Now, it means like this. According to Shmuel, so Sfarim can only be written in Greek. So, but they, Rav Shmuel holds, Greek is on a pedestal. Remember we learned the Pasuk, Yafdeh Elokim Yefet, that the beauty of Yishkon Barley Shem, the beauty of Yefet to dwell in the house of shame. So, Krishna Shmuel, Greek is on a level, pure Greek, not the corrupted Greek. They said later on it got corrupted, so it's not that way. But the pure Greek is so beautiful that you could, it's even on the same level as Hebrew. So it comes out like this, that according to everyone, the Megillah can be written in any language. In other words, even if Shmuel holds that Sfarim can only be written in Greek, he holds the Megillah can be written in any language. And if I read it in a language, so a person who understands that language could be Yotze. But according to Shmuel, if I write it in Greek, then even if I don't understand Greek, I could be Yotze the Megillah.
Let's see back on the Gemara. He says, so why didn't they just say halakha follows Rosh Leil? So Yamri halakha Rosh Leil havamina halimilu shar sparim. I would have thought that's talking about the other sifrei Tanakh. Aval megillah d'tiba kitavam imalo. But by the megillah it says you have to write a kitavam. I would have said no. It's the halakha not like Rosh Leil kamash malon. Okay. So the main thing is that we got the pshat in the Mishnah, and the Mishnah says that. One line of the Mishnah says I can't be Yotzei in foreign languages. The other says I could be Yotzei. So the basic idea is if I don't understand that language, I can't be Yotzei in Megillah. If I do understand that language, so I could be Yotzei, but some say only if I don't understand it in Ashuri. Okay, questions come to us very quickly. You mean it was a lingua franca? It was it was a widely spoken language. Koine. Koine was the common vernacular of Greek that spread throughout the ancient Near East. Anyway, I think it's true. Greek was a widespread language, but I think Chazal is saying more than that. That there's a beauty to the Greek language that other languages don't have. So, in other words, like even if Latin, supplanted Greek, nevertheless, Latin doesn't have the same place in halakha as Greek did. Greek, they considered it to be a very beautiful language. That's all I could say. And it's based on the pasuk, you have to look in the effort. Okay, I got to move on. Anybody, quick questions, anybody? Okay, let's move on. Now, let's keep back in the Gemara. Now, we're around 10 lines to the bottom on Yudchet Amud Aleph. Now, if a person is, he only speaks French or English or Spanish, but he hears the Megillah Ashurit, he's Yotzei. That's what Mishnah says. Follow Yodah my Kamri. But he doesn't know what they're saying. How could it be Yotzei? So the Gemara says, "Midi the Habanash of the Amei Haaretz." The Gemara says, maybe it's like people, women and Amei Haaretz typically didn't understand the Hebrew, and yet they were Yotzei. It's like that. So my people, Ravina, asked a strong question. Why are you saying it's like women and Amei Haaretz? Nobody understands the Megillah entirely. We have words, Achashtranim b'nei Aramachim. What do those words mean? Now, I saw one of the Mepharshim wants to say that they understood Achshonim and Ramachim, that it was like a two-humped camel, but they didn't know the etymology, how those words got to be two-humped camel. But Ella, Mitzvah Kriyu Pursumei Nisa. So it means that when I'll come to shul, I'll understand they're reading the Megillah, and I'll ask questions, not during the Kriyas of Megillah, and that'll create Pursumei Nisa. Hakanan is the Kriyu Pursumei Nisa. So too, with the person, he's a Loes, he doesn't say Shurim. He'll come, it means like he understands it's Purim, he understands it's telling the story of Purim, but he'll ask questions and he'll be the person in Nisa. For us, we said in the Mishnah, if a person reads it in a discontinued fashion, it was, I read a Pasuk, I pause, I'm Yotzei. So the Gemara says, the Tamim didn't understand what the word say Rugin means. Shamula am the Bein Rebbe, the Tamim Rabbanan, the Abi Aili Paski, the Bein Rebbe, means the Chachamim didn't understand what the word Seirugin meant, or maybe with clarity what it meant, and they heard Amta Debe Rebbe, the maid in Rebbe's house, she said to the Chachamim, how come you all coming in like piecemeal, like little groups, instead of all coming in at once? So Amatai Tam Seirugin, Seirugin. And they said, oh, that's what Seirugin is, like a little piece of stuff. So how do we get out of now? I could work, we mentioned other cases that Chachamim didn't understand the words. The Chachamim didn't understand what the word halog logot is. So they heard the maid in Rebbe's household saying to a man who was spreading out purslane, how long are you going to keep spreading out your halog logot? So they said that's purslane, it's like a vegetable. We have a rabbi in my salsalo through Mecca. Sal Saleha, and it'll exalt you. So we didn't understand what that meant in Mishlein. Shemula Amta Be Rebbe, Dabad Amalu Gavad of Mahapek Bamazye. So they heard Rebbe's maid say to a person who was curling his hair, Amrle, I'm a type on the Salsa Basarecha. How long are you going to keep like curling your hair? So he says, means, so then they understood Sal Saleha from Mecca means like to delve and to turn it over with the words of Torah, and it'll uplift you. He says, they don't understand what does it mean, throw on Hashem your Yahavcha, your Yahav. Amar Omer Rochana, here it's Rav Rochana said, one time I was traveling with a certain Arab merchant, or an Arab merchant, an Arab, yeah. You usually say an Arab merchant.
He says, the Kadarina tuna, I was carrying a heavy load. He said, take your load and throw it on my camel. So I understood that Yahavcha means Hashleich Hashem Yahavcha, like put your burden on Hashem. In other words, unload your burdens to Hashem. Well, how do you get a Rabban in my Tetia the Matate Hashmei? I will Tetia Bamate Hashmei. I will destroy, I think it's Babel. So Shemu Alam Be Rebbe, David Amra the Chaverka, they heard the Amma Be Rebbe, the maidservant in Rebbe's house, saying to her friend, surely Tetita Vitate Beta. Like, take the broom and sweep up the house. And so they understood that the word, I'm going to sweep a Babel with like a broom. So they understood it all. Okay.
So they learned from the maidservants and the Arabs.
That's right. And it was like a person can learn from, you know, but the maidservant had, you know, a good tipos of Hebrew. Okay, now, Tarabana, Kra'ase Rugin Yatsa. The price we learned. If a person recites something to say rugin, it means I read one pasuk, I wait 5 minutes. I read another pasuk, I wait 5 minutes. I'm yotza. Then turn page. Say rusin lo yatsa. Say rusin is if I read it out of order, which is the same as mafreya that we had in our Mishnah. Lo yatsa, not yotze. Rabbi Muna Omer Mishum Rabbi Yehuda. After say rugin, if shachakel is more kula choser the rosh. So Rabbi Muna says, and he has a sword from Rabbi Yehuda, that let's say it takes me 20 minutes to read the whole Megillah, and I read five psukim, and then I pause for a half hour, and then I pick up the Kriyas Megillah. He holds, even though I wasn't mafsik with Deba or anything, I'm not yotzei. It's shaha kedil gmor kula. He says, I'm Rabbi Yosef, halachik Rabbi Muna, shamar mishum Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosef says, halacha follows Rabbi Muna, who said Rabbi Yehuda. So I'm only by Rabbi Yosef, kedil gmor kula mehecha dekai the seifa. We said Kedilig more kula. Let's say I went through half the Megillah and now I pause. So does it mean the amount, let's say it takes me 20 minutes to read the whole Megillah and half the Megillah 10 minutes. So now when I pause in the middle of the Megillah, the clock begins to run, according to Rabbi Muna. So is it a 20-minute clock or a 10-minute clock? Because that would take me 10 minutes to complete it. Or let's say I'm up to the last pasuk of the Megillah and I stop. So do I only have like to complete it? Like I can't pause for more than 3 minutes, or a minute, then I'm finished. Oh, Dilma, may racial safer. Or maybe there's a standard amount for me, how long it takes me to complete the whole Megillah. That's the unit, 10 minutes, 20 minutes. So Amalei, may racial safer. He says it has to be that's the whole unit from the beginning to the end. Deem Kena Tadverekla Shiurim. Because otherwise, you're going to have a million different Shiurim. In Hakinami, I think other people will have different shiurim for each person, but each person will have a million shiurim. At this point, it's 20 minutes. This point, 18 minutes. This is 15 minutes. And the Chachamim didn't create halacha like that. They created like standard amounts of time. So Amar Biyaba, Amar Yomi Ra'aba, Amar Rav, Halacha Rabbi Muna. So in this statement, we have in the name of Rav, Rabbi Yomi Ra'aba, the name of Rabbi Abba, the name of Rabbi Yomi Ra'aba, the name of Rav, the halacha is Rabbi Muna. Shmuel Amar ain't halacha Rabbi Muna. Shmuel says halacha does not follow Rabbi Muna, and you see, that looks like the halakha. That's what Rav Sobolovsky was saying to me. The Surah Matnu Hachi, Surah, which was the city of Rav, they learned the discussion as follows. Surah they learned the way we just had it. The Pumpadita Matnu Hachi. Pumpadita, they learned the following way. I'm a Rav Kahan, I'm a Rav. So the only difference here is instead of Rabbi Abba, the name of Rabbi Abba, the name of Rav, here's Rav Kahan in the name of Rav. I'm a Rav Kahan, I'm a Rav, halakha Rabbi Muna. Lachba is Ramuna, Ushwilamar ain't a lach of Ramuna. Rabibi Matni Ibcha. Rabibi learned punk fakir. He says, Rav Amar ain't a lach of Ramuna. Rav says, Halacha does not call Ramuna. Ushwilamar halacha Ramuna. Shmuel is the one who says, Halacha calls Ramuna. So, we usually follow like Rav Isurei and by Shmuel Mamono. So here it makes sense like this would be more like, I think, more like Isurei. So the halacha, it follows Rav, that halacha is not Ramuna. So I'm Rabbi Yosef, the Kotar Rabibi Biade. So Rabbi Yosef said you should adopt Rabibi's version of the Machloket, meaning the Rav says that the time is not significant. The Shmuel who dechayish lechidah, because Shmuel, we know in general, is choshesh for a shitas yachid who's machmir, even though the Rabbim are mekiel. And let me just do this case, and then I'll pause another 5-6 lines. So he says, you get 8 lines. Nam, we learned this Mishnah, and this gives us a little foretaste of what's coming up in 2 or 3 months in Masechet Yevamot. So, as I'm sure you all know, that if a man dies without children, there's a mitzvah of Yibam, in other words, the widow, there's a mitzvah on the man's surviving brothers to be miyabim, the widow, to marry the widow or to do chalitza with the widow. So he marries her, it's called Yibam, the liberate marriage, or to do chalitza, where it's a mitzvah where we dissolve the bond between the two of them. So let's say I have three brothers, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. We'll say Reuven is the oldest brother. Reuven is married to Rachel. Reuven dies without children. So now Shimon and Levi are faced with a situation to do chalitza or yibum. So ideally, the mitzvah is on the oldest brother. Let's assume Shimon is older than Levi. Levi, though, after the death of Reuven, decides he's marrying Rachel's sister, Leah. So Levi does kiddushin with Leah. Now, the problem with this is that there's an idea of Zika. Zika, which we'll have more in the Gemara and Yavama, there's a connection between the Yavama and her, and each one of the potential is suitors, right? Each one of the brothers. So Leah is Achot Zekukato. Leah is the sister of the woman that he has the Zika with. So the Tana Rabbi Yehuda ben Mateira holds that's a no-no, that what Levi did is a no-no. So he says, So according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Mateira, we would say to Levi, wait until your older brother, Shimon, does Yibum or Chalitza with Rachel, and then go forward with your marriage to Leah. In other words, let him do the Yibum or the Chalitza, then there's no Zika with you and Rachel, and then do what you need to do with Leah. But the Chachamim hold that the Zika is sort of like, I don't know, more kind of like inchoate and not directly relates to each person. Rabbi Smolovsky says, some hold that where there's more than one brother, there's no Zika, is the way Rabbi Smolovsky was saying. And he was saying that most of the Mepharshim explain Zika is a din de rabbanan. All right, anyway, the point being, though, that Shmuel holds by the more stringent opinion, even though the majority hold more leniently. So it makes sense that Shmuel here would hold more stringently that if you're shokidim with more kula, you're not yotze, even though the majority hold not this way. So it makes sense to interpret it the way. So Amar Shmuel, Halakhi Rabbi Yehuda ben Mateira. Okay, let's just pause for a minute and take questions, comments, and thoughts on anything that we did so far.
So what's the upshot? What's the halacha?
Yeah, so the halacha is that you could, I didn't look it up, but this is the way Rabbi Solovsky said to me, you can stop the Megillah in the middle, and you could wait 5 hours, and then pick it up again. There is no time limit. Okay? All right, any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Yeah, well, you know, it's a big daf, so I tend to overcompensate, so I'll go much slower now. Okay? Okay, now. All right, let's go slower. Okay, so we're 20 lines before it gets wide. On your kind of base. And again, we have Daf Yomi on Shabbos, I think at 3:10 this week. I think 3:10 is Daf Yomi. All right. That's it. We would see him in right. So Odesis is see him in 2 weeks. It flies when you're doing Daf Yomi. Okay. So Tana Rabbanan, Hishmik Bas Sofer Otiot Opsukim. Let's say the Sofer, he left out letters in the Megillah, or he left out entire Psukim in the Megillah. Ukrana Kore, Kimiturgimana Matargame. But the Baal Kore, he knew the words, or he knew the psukim, and so he said them Baal Peh. He said them, you know, even though they were not written. Yatsa. So the Brisa says, you fulfill your obligation with the Megillah. So the Gemara says, on this we ask a kasha from the following Brisa. The Brisa says, Hayuba Otiot Metushtashot, if there were letters that were messed up in the Megillah, he says, O Makura Ot, or letters that were ripped. In other words, the cloth is ripped, so certain letters, you know, they're defective. In Rishumani Kark Shira, if I could see the outline letters, it's kasher. So otherwise, sula. So if I would combine both these brises, the earlier brises, in other words, this brisa says that I have to have the letters there, I have to be in Rishumani Kar. I have to be able to see the outline of the letters on the cloth. I have to be able to see. The earlier Bryce said I could lane things even though they're not there at all. So how do I reconcile the two Bryces? Lo kasha, there's no contradiction between two Bryces. Habakula, habamixata. The last Bryce is talking about if it's all the Tushtashot, if all the letters are messed up in the Megillah, or you could say it really means even if most of the letters in the Megillah are messed up. So then I'm not Yotzei with that Megillah. But the Miksata, if only some letters are Metushtashot, then I am Yotzei. And that's what the first Bryce is saying. So it means like this. If I have a Megillah and it's missing some letters or some words, the Megillah is not passive with that. I can still go forward and read it. But it can't be, it has to be that most of the Megillah is kasher, and the poskim bring out the first and last pasuk are very important. The first pasuk has to be in good shape, the last pasuk has to be in good shape, and most of the Megillah has to be in good shape. Okay, but if there are some missing letters or words in the middle, you're still okay. All right.
Why now, the first and last pasukim? Why do they have to be good? I understand both.
I think because there's a chashivas, I think, to the beginning and end of a document. In other words, like if when you begin and end something, it's like, you know, you want it to look like a Megillah. In other words, so that's what I think it's based on. All right, now the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Hishmipa HaKorei Pasuk Echad. Let's say the Baal Korei left out one pasuk in the middle of Megillah. Lo Yomar Ekra Kula V'Charcha Ekra Oto Pasuk. He shouldn't say, you know what, let me finish the whole Megillah, and then I'll read that pasuk at the end, and I'll be fine. Ela Koreimi Oto Pasuk Ela. He's got to go back. Let's say he realizes when he's in Perek Dalet, he left out a pasuk in Perek Beis. He's got to go back to Perek Beis, pick up where he left off, and go forward. Nichnas LeBeit HaKnesset, Matzat Tzibur SheKaru Chetzya. Let's say he walks into a shul, somebody walks into a shul, and finds they're midway through the Megillah. Lo Yomar Ekra Chetzya Yimet Tzibur. So he shouldn't say, you know what, I'll read half the Megillah together with the Tzibur. I have my own kosher Megillah. I'll read half it with them. And then afterwards, I'll read the first half. I'll do the second half and the first half. I have to read the whole Megillah in its order from beginning to end. So they quoted the Ran. The Ran says that the first Braisa is talking about, like, it could be a word or a pasuk. The second Braisa, so even that has to be in order. Second Braisa is saying, even like a big piece of the Megillah, in other words, one, the first half, the second half, those two have to be in order as well. Okay, any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? All right, let's keep moving. All right, we're around six lines above where it gets very wide on Yuchanan Beis. We said if a person was dozing off, he's Yotzei Kriyas Megillah. What is the definition of Mitnamnim? So Amar Rabashi, Nim below Nim, he's sleeping and he's not sleeping, tear below tear, he's awake but not awake. If you call him, he answers. He doesn't know how to speak like with logic. If you ask him some svara, he's like out of it. But if I mention this logic, yeah, that's right. You know, he's with it. So now the only thing is, I would say the Gemara is talking about that the person is reading the Megillah and he's mitnamdeim, as opposed to listening to the Megillah when you're mitnamdeim. That's much more worse because you have to be focused to hear each word from the Baal Korei, and that's in a worse situation. All right, now on the last narrow line. If a person was writing the Megillah, or he was darshaning the Megillah, like learning the Pasuk and explaining it, he says, or he was Magi, he was correcting Megillah, and he has Kavadah Yotzei, he's Yotzei. So what exactly is the case that the Mishnah is speaking about? If in his mind he's thinking about the Pasukim, and then he's writing the Pasuk as he's thinking about it, so what does it happen if he's, what difference if he makes it? He has Kavanah al pehu. He's reading it al peh. In other words, he's thinking the Pasuk, and then he's saying the Pasuk, and so he's writing, but it's al peh. Ela the katab sukuk of a karilai. The case the Gemara thinks is he's writing each Pasuk, and then he's reciting the Pasuk from the writing when he says it. So is Yotze that way? Bama Rebbe Chelbo, Amar Chambo Gurim Arav. You have a statement in the name of Rav, halachic divrei omer kula. Now we're going to have this in, or you'll have it in tomorrow's daf. There's a question, how much of the Megillah does the person have to lane in order to be Yotzei? Tomorrow's daf, right? Okay. Yeah. So the next Mishnah. So in other words, let's say you have the Megillah. So we hold you have to lane the whole Megillah. But another Tana holds, I just need from Yishudi. And that's Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi says from a Harhad from Ma'ela. So there are different Tanayim who hold, you know, how much of the Megillah I have to lane. So back to the Gemara. So halacha kibre omer kula. The halacha is according to the opinion that I have to lay in the whole Megillah. But kilam on the marmi ishudi, and even according to the opinion that I only have to lay in from ishudi, he says sricha shtekuva kula. But the whole thing has to be written in front of him. So in other words, if he's writing a Megillah and he writes one pasuk and he reads that pasuk from what he wrote, but the whole Megillah is not written in front of him when he reads the pasuk. Ela the man from Megillah kamei. The kari lamina pesukah b'katav law. So the Gemara says no. The case of the Mishnah is he has one portion of Megillah in front of him, and he has another cloth where he's writing. He's copying over the Megillah. So one Megillah he's copying from, and he's reading from that Megillah, and he says, you know, by hibi me'achash be'roch, and he's reading it, and he's writing into the next Megillah. So if he has kavana to be yotze the mitzvah, he's yotze. So he doesn't have kavana, not. In other words, he has to have kavana. So the Gemara says, "Leim v'sayi le the Rabba Bar Bar Chana." Should we say that this interpretation of the Mishnah supports Rabba Bar Bar Chana? The Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana Yochanan. Rabba Bar Chana said, "Yochanan, asur l'chtov odachat shlom minakav." That one is prohibited from writing one letter in any safer, Tanakh, on cloth, unless it's from a written text. In other words, I can't write a sefer by heart. I have to copy it from a written text. So from the fact that the Mishnah says, the way we interpret the Mishnah, that he's got a kosher Megillah and he's writing another Megillah, that seems to lend credence to Rabba Bar Bar Chana. So the verse is not necessarily so. Hilma determined that he's maybe the Mishnah means if it occurred in this way, not necessarily that he would have to copy from another document, but the Mishnah means if it did, then and he had kavanah he'd be yotze. So now we're on the fourth very wide line. So we said, according to Rabbi Chana, I can't write one letter unless it's from an existing text. So Mefe, on this we ask a kasha from the following brisa. The brisa says, Amar Rabbi Shimon Elazar. Elazar says, Maaseh b'Rabbi Meir, shlach la'aber shana ba'asya. There was an incident with the Tana Rabbi Meir who went to intercalate the year in Astia, wherever Astia is, it's outside of Eretz Israel. Normally, you're not allowed to intercalate the year outside of Eretz Israel, but this was an unusual situation, or it sounds like, I saw in the Masifta, I think they said there was no Chacham like him in Eretz Israel, so he's doing it. I was thinking maybe it was like the Roman persecution or something. There was no Megillah where he was. The Katbam Libo, Rabbi Meir, wrote the whole Megillah by heart. He says, Ukra, and he leaned from that Megillah. So how can Rabbi Bar Chana say that you can't write any Sifrei Tanakh, not Menachtav? We see Rabbi Meir did it. So I'm Rabbi Bar. Rabbi Bar says, Shani Rabbi Meir, Mekai Meiva, Apepecha Yashiru Negdecha. Rabbi Meir is in a whole different category. The Pasuk says, Apepecha, like your pupils will see straight in front of you. And it's talking about like the Torah. In other words, Rabbi Meir, he knew that the Pesukim so well, it's like written in front of him, even though it's not written in front of him. So he could do it. So I'm only running Rabbi Chana Rabbi means if the Ma'avi Afapecha Yeshuv Nedecha. What does that pasuk mean, which I explained to you already? Amar Ilu Divrei Torah. It's referring to Divrei Torah, the thief Behu Hatayif Nechabova Einenu. It says if you like close your eyes, it's not there. Like you blink, it's gone. In other words, you have to keep learning. Otherwise, like Dr. Lamb, I remember once he said it. I think it was in my Chag Asmicha. He says, like, if you don't keep learning, it like leaches out of you, drop by drop by drop. And so I don't have time to get into it right now, but like, there's a case in halacha we've had in Daf Yomi with a mikvah which is leaking water. All right, anyway, so but that's what he said. Now, Rafilu Hafi Yusharin Hein Eitzel Reb Meir. Notwithstanding that, with Reb Meir, they're like straight in front of him. So he says here, Rav Chista Ashtil Rav Chananel, Rav Chista encountered Rav Chananel, of a Ketav Sforim Shlom Benetav. He was writing Sfarim, not from a written text. So Amalei, Riyakul Torkulik Tevel Picha. He says, I have full faith in you, that you know everything, and the Torah could be written all by you. And he's based on your memory. But the Chachamim teach us, you're not allowed to write anything not a Chachamim. How are you doing that? So me the Kamar Kul Torkulik Tevel Picha, the cloud of Yisharina is slow. So from the fact that he said that the whole Torah is like, clear to you, so it sounds like he's in the same category as Rameir. It's like Omiyushar, like he's in front of him. He says, "How Rameir Ketav?" So how is it that Rameir could write it, and nevertheless, Rav Chananel could not write it? So his Gemara says, "Shada d'Fachshani." It means even Rameir, it's not just that A he was Rameir, but B it was Shada d'Chach. There was no other Megillah there, So putting together a mayor with no other Megillah, he could write it by memory. Abayi permitted Bei Bar Chavu, who were sellers of tefillin, to write tefillin and mezuzos not based on a text. So come on, who is he following? Ki Haitana, because we just said that you have to always write from the text. Tani Rabbi Yirmi Omer Mishum Rabbeinu. Rabbi Yirmi says the name of Rav. Rabbeinu was Rav. Tefillin mezuzos nechtavot shalom nechtav. He says that tefillin and mezuzos can be written shalom nechtav. And they don't require seer to it in like the engraved lines in them. The Hilchata, Rashi learns, is tefillin ain't tzrichin seer to it. Tefillin don't require seer to it. Mezuzo tzrichin seer to it. Mezuzo does require seer to it. But edi, nechtavot shalom nechtav. But either tefillin or mezuzos can be written by memory. My time away, migras grisim. They're very well known. In other words, everybody knows those psukim, so you could do it. Now, let me just wrap it up to the next Mishnah, and then we'll pause for a minute. I talked to Bussamachu, like we said, if the Megillah is written with these other inks, it's not kosher. Sam is Sama. Rashi says it's orpiment. So whatever orpiment is, I think it's a different color other than black. Sikra, Amar Barakana, Sikrata. It's like some sort of green, yellow, I mean red colored ink. Sikrata Shema. Then we have on the Mizbeth, the Chuda Sikra, there was a red line around the Mizbeth. Kumus is Kuma. It's like a type of resin or sap from the tree. The top line on Yotam and Aleph, Kan Kantum, hard to the Ushkefi. Now, Kan Kantum is black, it's hard to the Ushkefi. It's like the shoemaker's black, but this somewhat, you might think counterintuitively, can't be erased. So Chazal teach us that the ksiva that's written has to be susceptible to being erased. And this can't be erased, so it's not good as an ink. Diftara, now we're talking about what you're writing on. Diftara is like the leather. The malia fakamia, it was salted and a flour was applied to it. A little obvious, but not walnut. So it's not fully processed as cloth. So you can't use that. And niar is mafaka. Niar is papyrus. I can't use that. So I have to use a black ink and I have to write it on cloth. Okay, now Ashtek Tuva Ashurid. Ashurid is the Hebrew that we write in the Sefer Torah. In their writing, and that writing was Ashurid. Al Sefer with Yovahule, it has to be written in the Megillah and with Yo. So Menalon, Akhtiva Ktiva. So the Gemara says we have Gzeir Shavah, Ktiva Ktiva. Ktiva Hafa, Ktiva Sermaka, that she wrote it down, all the things that had transpired. Ktiva Hatam, the Baruch, he says to Yirmiya, Baruch is speaking to the people. He says that Yirmiya dictated to me all these things, and I kotevel a sefer b'dyo. I wrote on a sefer b'dyo. So just like over there, it was on a sefer b'dyo, so to here, it has to be on a sefer b'dyo. Okay, now, who's got questions, comments, thoughts on anything I did? Everybody's so quiet. Nobody? Okay, let me see. Maybe I'll do a little piece of Torah.
The second half was slower and just so nicely paced.
Oh, well, you know, it's attention. You know, it's...
I understand. You finish it off when it's right.
Yeah. Now, I'll talk in a minute. I'll touch on a little bit here from the Al Adaf, and then we'll call it a night. Now, the Mishnah on Yitzayin states that a sofer who writes a Megillah in Purim discharges the obligation of the priest. A Megillah provided a kivayli bo, he had the intention to be Yotze. Warren Yechet explains the Mishnah is referring to a case of a sofer, a Baal Megillah open for him as he writes a new Megillah, ensure accuracy, he reads my book, the older Megillah, blah, 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 and Megillah he Yotze. Now, the Chavos Yair is of the opinion that writing an oath has the same halachic force as taking an oath verbally. That there's real tiva kedibur. In other words, that's how a person writes the oath. So the Chavos Yair says it's the same as saying the oath. If I write it down, it was tiva kedibur. The Kiva Eger remarks that according to Chavos Yair, I should be able to fill the mitzvah Sfiras HaOmer through writing the day of the Omer. Let's say Sfira, and I write down the date. When through Rabbi Kiva Eger, he wants to say Kibiyotze by writing. Now, the Shev Yaakov cites our Gemara as proof that Kiva Lav kedibur. He wants to say, you see, it's not that way. Why? He says, the Gemara indicates Sofer's Yotze only if he pronounces the psukim as he copies them from the completed Megillah. So he says the Shevi Yaakov argues that if writing is tantamount to speaking, the sofer who copies the Megillah text from a completed Megillah fulfills his obligation to create the Megillah. In other words, if I say Ksiva is the same as Dibur, so that's what the sofer is doing. He's looking in the kosher Megillah and then he's writing on the new cloud. So if Ksiva is Kedibur, that's the same thing as reciting the Megillah. And yet the Gemara says he's only Yotze if he verbalizes it. That's a raya that Ksiva is Lav Kedibur. So Rukiva Eger, in defense of the Chavos Yair, resolves difficulty for Mark Gemara. Explains there are two reasons why the sofer must pronounce the Sukkim as he copies them, despite the fact that Ksiva Kedibur. The Mishnah states that Kura'al Pelo Yatsa, when a reason Megillah by heart is not filled with mitzvah, Rukiva Eger maintains if one does not pronounce the Sukkim while looking into the Megillah, rather, he writes or pronounces them from memory after looking away from the Megillah, is considered as though he is reciting the Megillah by heart. He says, therefore, the Gemara says that the sofer must pronounce the Pesukim as he looks into the Baal Megillah. In other words, he looks into the kosher Megillah, and then he sees what it says. And then after he looks away, he writes in the new cloth. So when he writes in the new cloth, he's not looking at the old cloth. In other words, the sample he's using, that's all written. So he looks there, and he looks away, and he writes, let's say, Bayehi. So if you say Ketiva Kedibur, it could be Ketiva is Kedibur, but now it's not reciting it from the kosher Megillah. And then B, the Gemara below in your Tet indicates that one must read the Megillah loud enough to hear it. He may not inaudibly whisper it. Therefore, even if Ketiva is Kedibur, when cannot fill the midst of Megillah's writing, because the condition of Hashpein La'ozna was lacking, but the words are not pronounced. In other words, Ketiva could be Kedibur, but I need a Dibur that I can hear with my ears. So there's a Dibur, but it doesn't rise to the level of hearing my ears. Okay, that's going to be it tonight. Let me just end the recording, and I'll say goodbye to everybody. One second.
Is there a Chesh?